My name is Yaakov, son of Matan, son of Elazar, son of El Ichud. I live in Beit Lechem, the city of David. I can cite my lineage back 27 generations to King David, and 14 generations further back to Father Abraham. 41 generations of known fathers begetting known sons. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Yehuda, and on, David, Shlomo, Rechavam, Avia, and on, Elikud, Elazar, Matan, to me, Yaakov, to my son, Yosef, known fathers, known sons, until now. I apologize. I know these names may seem strange and foreign to you in your pronunciation. I am Jacob, the father of Joseph, who is husband, technically, to the adulteress you call Mary. 2 years ago, she gave birth to a bastard son they named Jesus. I cannot begin to tell you the shame that they have put upon my family's name and her family's name. It has been a nightmare. Our families used to be so very close, Mary's parents and us. Her father and I, we were business partners. We were tectoni, not just carpenters, but stoneworkers, carvers, repairers of nearly everything. He and I are similar. We are quiet. We are men of few words. My wife says we are both predictable to a fault. I prefer to think of it as steady and dependable. When we had a son, and they, 3 years later, had a daughter, it was only natural that we made arrangements for these two children to be married when he turned 18 and she 15. Mary and Joseph, they were best of friends from the very beginning. As Joseph grew up, I could see that he took after me, a serious boy of few words. He was not a scholar. He only lasted through a few years of Torah school, enough to memorize the law and, when necessary, to write out a contract or a bill of sale in his rough handwriting. Not a scholar, but I could always count on him to always do the good and right and honorable thing. Mary grew up with a dark beauty, a warm and gentle way about her, yet she possessed a mind and a wit as sharp and dangerous as my best Damascus steel chisels. She did not suffer fools, including me on occasion. Which is why we were so surprised and devastated when just a few months before the wedding that we had been looking forward to for all these years, just a few months before, she turns up pregnant. And Joseph is decidedly not the father. It was a nightmare. Bethlehem is a small enough town that everybody knows everything that is happening to anybody almost instantly. Even before she was showing, everyone somehow knew. And the neighbors called Mary the predicted names: whore, adulteress, slut. It became a sport among the clucking old gossips of the neighborhood, trying to guess who the actual father might be. Was it Nathan, the baker? He has at least a dozen children by half a dozen women in town. Or perhaps it was the centurion they call Pantera, the panther, head of the Roman garrison in Bethlehem. His nickname comes as much from his appetite for young Jewish girls as from his prowess in battle. In our culture, it does not matter how willing or unwilling a young woman is in a sexual act. It is always adultery. It is theft from her father's honor, his family line, his patriarchy. An honor that must be restored. It was Mary's own father who demanded that Joseph bring his daughter to trial for adultery, that she might be found guilty and stoned to death so that her family's honor might be restored. Blood honor. He bellowed at Joseph and me in the shop one day, "I have other daughters who can gift me with grandsons, true grandsons." I could not bear to see such a scene. I suggested to Joseph that he could quietly and without public shaming have a writ of divorce made up, and she could quietly live Bethlehem and live whatever shambles of a life was in store for her and her bastard child. He said quietly that he had already begun the process. Our silent nods of agreement to each other were the last communication he and I had together. For not long after that, instead of hearing about a messy trial or a quiet divorce, I find out that they are still in town, they are living together, and Joseph is acting as a husband and protector of Mary. It was a nightmare. What kind of a man marries a woman who is carrying another man's child? A weak man. A man of no pride. A cuckold. A fool. That's what the neighbors say. I said a few moments ago that Mary's father and I and Joseph could repair anything. Well, except relationships. Joseph and Mary's shameful situation broke everything apart. We split the business in two. Mary's father and I never spoke again. Tradition required that I never speak publicly to Joseph again. And if I were to ever to see Mary on the street, I must turn away and spit on the ground. When Well, 2 years ago, she gave birth to her bastard son, whom they named Jesus, Yeshua, which means God saves. God saves. What a cruel joke. This baby boy has ruined all of our lives. Joseph, I hear, is acting toward it as if he's the father. I have not seen the child. I don't want to. And yet, I do. It's been a nightmare. What kind of man raises another man's child as his own? I know what the neighbors say. A weak man, a man of no pride, a cuckold, a fool. It breaks my heart. It's been 2 years. My business has slowly recovered. I hear that Joseph does odd jobs for very little money. They live together on the bad side of Bethlehem among refugees and prostitutes and lepers and criminals. I don't know how they put food on the table, and I can't ask. It breaks my heart. I told you that I have not spoken to Joseph in almost 2.5 years. That is true, but not entirely true. He has written me some letters in his rough yet dignified handwriting. He pays an urchin to deliver them for a copper lepton coin or two. I have a small stack of them. Almost 3 years' worth. And my pride prevented me from reading the letters until last month. I weakened. And I read the first one, and the second, and the third, and the 10th, and the 20th. And I've read them over and over and over again since then. The first one read like this: Honored Father, he calls me. I can't begin to describe how bad this hurts. Mary's betrayal is like cold ice in the marrow of my bones. It is like a stranger kicking me in the stomach again and again, and I can't get air into my lungs. I am angry and I am helpless, and I already hear the names the men of Bethlehem are calling me and the whispers of the women as I walk by. Cuckold, weak, not a man. Honored Father, I know how angry and disappointed you are about my decision to stay with Mary, not to divorce her or shame her publicly. From the beginning, you and I both knew the trial Mary's father demanded was not the direction I should go. No matter the mistake she made, Mary was the one I've known and loved since we were children. I knew a quiet divorce would satisfy your sense of honor and justice, if not his. But staying with her as a husband disappoints you both, I understand. And shortly after that was the strangest one. It didn't begin, Honored Father. It began, Dear Daddy. I need to tell you why I stayed with Mary. and will endure the names and the shame to me and our families. You see, Daddy, I had a dream. I dreamt of a light, a presence. I dreamt of love itself. Call it God, call it an angel, call it too much wine, call it delusional, but this is what it said. Joseph, Joseph, awake. Wake from your sleep of knowing everything, your dream of not having to look. Instead, look anew. I have hidden blessing in your life, wonder concealed in what you reject, glory waiting on the path you resist. I know you want to understand and to control things, and this is beyond those. You are afraid of what others will think, but that is not real. This is real. I am asking you to be faithful without proof, loving without assurance, humble without protection. I am asking you to trust. Learn to listen in a way that the world can't teach you. Learn to know in a way that is not how the world knows. Learn to follow a path the world can't see. Mary is on a quest, discovering the blessing and wonder that I have created in her. Do the same for yourself. Look within. Listen to your dreams. Give your heart a voice. Trust the magnificence of what I desire for you. Never mind people's expectations. Follow my delight. Do not be afraid to change your plans, to risk, to sacrifice, to commit. Joseph, never mind being right. Commit to love. Marry blessing and faithfulness. Marry your doubts. Marry wonder. Marry unknowing. Marry not being afraid. Joseph, awake. I have hidden blessing in your life. Take it as your own and know my joy. He writes, when I awoke from sleep, I did as the angel of the Lord commanded me. I don't understand fully what has happened. But I don't have to fully understand in order to fully love. My nightmare is slowly lightening to a dream. Not a dream like Joseph's, no. There's not enough wine in Galilee to give me a dream like that. But I seem to weather the whispers and the finger pointing and the cackling a little better. In another letter, he asked me, have you ever been open enough and vulnerable enough in your soul to be open to something bigger than you that is connected to love and to justice, to honesty and decency and integrity? Yes, I have. And Joseph, maybe I can see that that is what you are doing now with Mary and this child. And maybe I can be vulnerable enough to break all the rules finally and come to see you. Except it's too late now. because I got the letter today. I don't know how to decipher it, and it breaks my heart. Dear Daddy, I told the messenger to wait 3 days before delivering this letter. We have to leave now, or rather, we are gone. We can't tell you why. By the time you get this, we will be nearly to Egypt. Our neighbors with young boys, tell them to head for the hill country. We can't explain. I love you. Shalom, Joseph. Like his namesake, Joseph, the one with the coat of many colors, my Joseph is following a dream, not a nightmare. What kind of a man risks and loses everything to obey God? What kind of a man will become a refugee and cross a hostile border to find sanctuary and protection and a safer life to the family that God has gifted him with? A just man. A faithful man. A loving man. Joseph. My son.